Dub Nation, you're listening to the Warriors Post Up with the voice of the Warriors, Tim Roy.
Well, we get ready for Miami on Tuesday. That's about all you can say about tonight. 129-99, a 30-point loss at the hands of the Sacramento Kings. It is not the worst loss in Warrior history against the Kings franchise. That goes back to 2000, a 115-84 loss at the old Arco Arena. And I should say at the Arco Arena. The old Arco was a temporary building. Warriors have lost by 30 to the Kings franchise for the fourth time in their history, even going back to Rochester beating the Philadelphia Warriors in 1949, 83-53. So most of them have come in the Sacramento era. But I don't know. What do you say about tonight, Tom?
Well, much like a breathalyzer, that game blew. Thank you. I'll be here all week. Well, until Tuesday, actually.
Wow.
And then I'll be gone.
Wow. No, I'll be gone. You'll be home.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
That's a good point.
I'll be freezing.
That's a good point.
I'll be freezing in Detroit, Indiana, Toronto, and Minnesota. It's the wind chill road trip.
There's nothing to say about it. I mean, there really isn't. Games like this happen throughout the course of the season. Everybody will run into one.
Hey, Miami ran to one the other night.
Yep. You just do. You run into a team that's playing well. And you come out and for whatever reason lay an egg, and that's exactly what they did. The focus wasn't there. The effort wasn't there, at least the effort compared to Sacramento's effort. And then you run into two players that just had spectacular games. Malik Monk, if this was hockey, he'd be star one, and Sabonis would be star two. Those guys were phenomenal. 48 points and 19 assists between them, and they only played 59 minutes between them, so not even 30 minutes. 30 minutes for Sabonis, 29 for Monk. So, they were really, really good. First quarter was the story. Sloppy, turned the ball over, missed some shots. Sacramento got what they wanted to. They're getting paint touches on drives and then kicking it out and showing the ball and driving. That's why I love on the pump fake threes, the drive toward the bucket instead of the sidestep. When you threaten the bucket, the defense collapses. And then you kick it out again, and then you do it again, kick it out again. All of a sudden you get a wide open three with your feet set. And not to say guys can't make sidestep threes. That's a shot that I'm sure a lot of these guys practice, no doubt. But it just, you want to make the defense move and the defense work and the defense guess. And when you sidestep three, I mean, you know, they're not really having to do any of those things. They're just got to box out now and try to get a rebound if you miss it. But the Kings, I thought, the ball movement in the first quarter was spectacular. The shot making was really good. And then the Warriors just didn't have the shot making that we saw the last couple games. And on top of that, then it was also sloppy. You know, the one possession where Keon Ellis gets a lead pass, maybe 5 feet to the Kings' bucket side of half court. And he dribbled all the way in. No one even stopped him. I mean, he had to take two dribbles to get to the rim, and no one stopped him. It's like nobody even knew he was there. And then they inbound the ball, and they threw it away, and they hit a three. It's like that was the first quarter. And then they cut it to five. In the second quarter, Steph got going, 2 4-point plays, and you thought, here we go. They brought Sabonis back in, and order was restored. And I mean, within a literal blink of the eye, it was back up to 15. And at that point, we didn't know it at that point, but at that point, it was over. And it just got worse.
By the way, on the 4-point plays, Daryl Rada, who does such a great job with all of our numbers and our game notes, which are packets that help us prepare for games, this year, Curry has had 3 4-point plays. Andrew Wiggins and James Harden lead the league with 5.
Really?
Yeah.
I could have guessed Harden. I would have never guessed Wiggins.
Well, Wiggins, remember, had 2 in a game against Houston back in early December. He had 2 4-point plays. But anyway, what surprised me about this, Curry's got 68. He is not the all-time leader
since
97-98. James Harden has 112.
No way.
Yes. Since 97-98.
I would have.
And then Jamal Crawford retired with 62. Remember, okay. He's had that leg kick-out thing.
Yep.
You know, I even talked to him about it once.
Well, that's back when the rules were different.
Yeah.
You'd get away with that stuff.
And J.J. Redick had 60.
How about that?
Yeah.
I mean, it makes sense. I would have never guessed Harden had more than Steph, ever.
Not anymore, significantly more.
I mean, yeah. I would have guessed Steph was the guy that was 30 up on somebody else.
But remember, he had that one stretch of his career where he was just doing that all the time, dribbling out there.
Well, it was that double step back and then kick the leg out.
Right.
And guys would run at him, and he'd make the shot and get fouled. But my goodness, that is I would have never guessed anybody was close to 40 more than Steph. So
Let me ask you before we go, and it's not going to be a long post game tonight. There's really not a lot to say about this one, but from the Warrior perspective. But tell me your thoughts on the Kings now. What's different, you think, now that Mike Brown is out and Doug Christie is in?
Well, I think the pace has picked up a little bit.
Yeah.
And look, tonight, if they get performances like that out of Sabonis and Monk, then good luck beating them. And then Fox will be back. And Monk kind of took over the point guard duties at 13 assists tonight. He was really, really good. But it's still too early to tell. Sometimes you get that. You change a coach.
Get a little bump.
Exactly. So, I mean, I see it happen in all sports. It's just something new. And we'll find out in, a few weeks how well I don't want to say he's not going to be prepared, because I think Doug Christie will be prepared. But when guys start to figure out what they're trying to do, and it's not like he's reinventing the wheel, right? I mean, basketball is basketball. There's only so many things you can do on a basketball court. But when they start to figure out the patterns and what they're trying to do, what they're trying to accomplish, how they're playing defensively, offensively, then we'll kind of see and things will settle down. So I'd say get back to me in 10 more games and see how they're playing. I do think they underperformed. I do think Mike Brown's a hell of a coach, and for whatever reason, whatever happened, and whatever the message was, maybe it just wasn't getting through. Maybe it wasn't getting through to their star player and De'Aaron Fox. There's a lot of reasons things can go sour, and I have no idea what that reason was. But you breathe a little bit of a life into a team with a new coach sometimes, and look, they've kind of caught that wind, and they're just kind of sailing with it right now. But we'll see in 10 games how they are. They continuing to play this way, but it was a hell of a performance by them tonight, no doubt about that.
Yep, no doubt about that. Well, we'll see you on Tuesday.
We got the Heat.
The Heat.
Boy,
is
the
on.
Heat. What a mess.
Oh man.
I mean, holy smokes.
It reminded me a little bit of, remember the Warriors under the old ownership signed Steven Jackson, and the first thing he does, I want to trade,
I want out.
Yeah. It's like they gave him this extension, and all of a sudden, nope, see ya.
Yeah, I love that Butler said, can you get your joy back in Miami? Probably not.
Yeah.
Probably not. Yeah. I don't know if that was worth seven games, but I guess Riley didn't mess around.
It just shows you. I mean, the Heat had this great reputation as a franchise, and it's well-deserved, right?
It's called a culture.
And it is culture. Heat culture, I'll say. Thank
right?
you.
And it's well-deserved. But even a franchise like the Heat can get, a little starstruck. Oh, we'll get Jimmy Butler. He'll fit in with us, And sometimes some guys just don't fit in, just about anywhere.
Yeah. He did for a while, right? I mean, he did for a little bit. No?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, Jimmy Butler, you should know what you're getting with Jimmy Butler by now. You know what you're getting
it
with Jimmy Butler.
It was all downhill when he showed up for media day with that hairdo.
Emo Jimmy? He had a straight hairdo? And everybody wants him in Golden State? Yeah. All right. Okay. Okay.
Well, that's it. The other thing about it, too, is that people don't realize he's got an option on his contract.
Yes, he does.
A big option.
A massive.
An option.
Massive.
That will.
Option. And you guarantee he's picking that up.
you won't be above the apron. You'll be above the kitchen with that option.
And it's 100% he's picking it up.
Oh, yeah.
100% he's picking that option up. So you might as well just say we got him for a year and a half.
Yeah.
Is what it's going to end up being. But, hey, if they can get the win Tuesday, solid homestand.
Absolutely.
No matter
how
it shakes out, you look at the end result, you look at the record and say, okay, we had a nice homestand. Now we got to go on the road and build up and start winning some road games. I think it's going to be this way the whole year in the Western Conference. It's just going to be like a flow chart where it's kind of up and down, and this team's in second, and all of a sudden they're in fourth, and they're back to third, they're in seventh now, and they're back to third. And it's just that's the way it is. I don't see a whole lot of separation between teams 2 and 10. I really don't. I think there's a lot of teams in there that are just going to go through some ups and downs. You know, 4-game win streak, 2 or 3 game losing streak, you know, win, lose, win, lose, that kind of stuff. Because the Warriors have been a little disappointing since the start. Minnesota's been disappointing. Phoenix is kind of a mess, too, quietly. I mean, they're San Antonio has been, you know, pretty solid this year, but they're like, you know, 10th, 11th. Lakers over 500 with a negative differential between offensive and defensive.
They're the only team with a winning record in the league has a negative differential.
It's crazy. That's because the games they lose by like 25. They go on the road and just get absolutely blasted. I mean, does anybody really believe? I don't want to say I don't believe in Houston, but maybe you got to score a little bit in this league. I mean, you can't just win. I don't think you win with defense in today's basketball. So I don't know who it is. I mean, Denver? So don't know. I don't know about Denver. Denver's bench? I mean, Dallas maybe because they got, you know, Kyrie and Luka. And, you know, I like their big guys there too. I like Gafford and Lively a lot. So I'll keep saying what I've been saying. It's Oklahoma City by a mile in the West and then a bunch of other teams that are good. Not great, not very good, but good. And we're going to see a lot of change in the standings between now and the end of the season. That's just the way this reporter sees it.
And now you know the rest of the story. We'll see you here on Tuesday.
I will be here, ready to go. Back to normal time, 7.
7 o'clock, okay. Pregame show, okay. 7:30. No, 7 o'clock, no, Tim.
6:30 pregame show. Don't mess me up, Tim. I'm getting used to the rhythm now. Don't mess me up.
Get that rhythm.
Rhythm's
like Elvin Hayes. Get that rhythm.
Yeah, rhythm's going to get you.
Gloria Stefan. There you go.